LNB's audio diary for the 29th of October, 2023. It is a Sunday. Sunday. That's right. I'm right. And it's about 7:45 in the morning. And it is a chilly morning, but bright and sunny. Our quote-unquote Indian summer is pretty much done. We have chilly nights now, and although I don't know that they've dipped down, you know, I haven't seen frost on the windshield of the car yet. I thought I might have yesterday, but then I changed my mind. So if there's any, it's negligible, but we're getting there. We're absolutely getting there, and it'll be chilly coming up for sure. But I think today it'll probably be cool throughout the day, but pleasant in the sunshine. And that's not a bad autumn day at all. But yeah. Anyway, I am on my way to the shelter. Right now there's just the bunny and one guinea pig. The other one got adopted a while back, about 2 weeks ago now. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Then I'll just head back home. Because I'm working on editing All He Surveys. As I've stated before, my goal is to completely be done with this by the end of the year. To that end, I am in the middle of editing chapter 22. And it's coming along pretty well so far. So I think it'll be, I think I'll be able to get that finished within the next couple of days and get that out. And that would be nice. I would love to have chapter 22, out into the wild before the end of the month. And that would only leave me 3 chapters to do in November. And that would be nice. That would be nice. So anyway, let's see. What's up? Well, let me think. We had a Star Drifter RPG game last night. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It's coming along. It's running slower than I expected. But I don't know why I expected it to run more slowly, you know, than what was in my mind. Because my games that I run always run slowly. I always throw up a lot of either barriers or opportunities for misdirection, or just opportunities to do things that they want to do rather than hustle the plot along. So my particular gaming style doesn't really, I don't think it's good for, you know, people looking for a lot of action. But then Star Drifter isn't a game that way either, because it's, you know, one of those where nothing happens, and then oh my god, and everything happens. You know, so it's like that. And so far, I don't know, I'm having a lot of fun. So that went really well. And another, I was having terrible connection issues the last time, so much so that I could not get my audio to connect, and we had to cancel, right? Not last night, but the time before that, the session before that. And I felt awful. I'm telling you, I felt really, really bad about that. But, and it, especially since it occurred to me later that I could easily have gotten the app. We're using Jitsi, JITSI, for audio, and it really is outstanding. It works really, really well, and it's open source and all this other stuff. But it provides really good audio. But when your audio or when your internet is really dying, it doesn't work very well. But I got the app on my phone and I used it last night rather than, you know, mess around and worry about, you know, is my internet gonna die or having choppy connection or, you know, anything like that. I just ignored it entirely and went to the phone and used data for the connection, and it worked beautifully. It was smooth as butter. I mean, really, really, you know, that's the direction I'm going to go in from now on, because it just was flawless. It was just absolutely easy and flawless. So Jitsi is really good, and I like it. And I picked up a headset that worked with the phone, and just, you know, overall it just was smooth, very smooth. So that was good. I needed for something to go right. I did. Although yesterday was a good day overall. I made, I don't know what you'd describe it. I guess you'd describe it as a type of pot pie. But basically, I bought some pork, chopped, it was chopped for stew meat, but I took that and I cooked it down in something of a French style, and I made a reduction to create a sauce. And I took that and I put it inside puff pastry and wrapped it around, and I poured a little bit of the sauce on top of there. I threw some corn in there too, just to have something, pretend it's healthy, right? And folded it all over and baked it. I did two of those at the same time, and they're gorgeous to look at. Big puffs with meat inside. So it's basically a pot pie, but it's done entirely with puff paste and not inside like a pie shell, you know? And Mrs. Bronx and Little Bronx had those, and they just loved them. They thought they were really good. And I had more sauce on the side. Little Bronx doesn't like extra sauce. He doesn't like sauce or gravy very much, but Mrs. Bronx had put some of hers on there, and then with the meat that was left over, I made a sandwich for myself with cheese and some more of that sauce, and it was really good. It was like a French sandwich, like a French dip sandwich with au jus on the side, but it turned out really, really good. It was very, very tasty. So I am a big fan of French cooking. Oddly, I haven't been exposed to French food very much, right? Made in a French style. So it's a strange thing to say. I was thinking about this yesterday. It's a strange thing to say that French cooking is my favorite style of cooking, but it's not my favorite food, because I haven't had enough of it to, you know, to like look back and say, oh man, I'm really dying for this, that, or the other thing. Maybe someday it will be, but I there's just no French restaurants around here or anywhere I ever lived, except probably New York, but I couldn't afford to go to one, so. So I'm making it myself. But, anyway, let's see. I did that yesterday. It turned out really good, and they really enjoyed it, and then in the evening I played the game. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of been where I've been spending my time, doing that sort of stuff, except for something I haven't brought up here. I've mentioned it to one or two other people, but there is a type of, this is for role-playing games, there is a type of gaming board, if you want to put it that way, board or map, called the Ultimate Dungeon Terrain, or UDT, right? And it's created by a YouTube guy who's got a channel. He goes by the name of Professor Dungeon Master, okay? And if you look it up, you'll see exactly what he made. Well, his design is primarily meant for use with D&D or Pathfinder. And the concept of this thing is he takes a piece of board. It could be almost anything. It could be made of, you know, cardboard or something. But he used some foam board, because, you know, he was able to dress it up and make it look really nice. But the basic concept of this thing is you have a board of some sort. You draw a circle on it. Then you draw another inner circle a little ways in. And then one, finally, a circle in the middle, right? So you basically have an outer ring, an inner ring, and a circle in the middle, okay? Then he puts... In his case, it was a foam board, but if it was a cardboard, you could draw on there. He draws in all the squares for a combat board or some kind of map, right? And he's really into miniatures and things like that. So he dresses this thing up and makes it look really, really nice, like, you know, cracked stone inside a dungeon. And it looks beautiful, right? But it's still got those three rings, right? And when he paints it up, the three rings are distinctive. Right? They're made distinctively. Like, one might be a grayish green, another one might be a more paler gray, and then a center one might be closer to like a dark brown or black almost, right? so that the three rings are distinctive. And the concept of the three rings is three zones of distance. The center circle, oh, hold on. Okay, that was the phone. Anyway, so the inner circle, there are, as I say, there are three zones of distance. So the inner circle is close, the middle ring is near, and the outer ring is far. Okay, and I think Professor Dungeon Master uses slightly different terminology for that, and I've seen other people, and they also use slightly different terminology, but those are mine: close, near, and far. Now, what those refer to, close is close enough for melee combat, and the idea is that any characters in that inner circle are close enough to each other that anybody can fight anybody that's inside that ring. You're close enough to run up and hit anybody with a sword or axe or your fist or whatever, right, in that inner circle. So the ring, the next ring, the near section, is you're close enough for ranged attacks, right? So again, we're talking D&D or Pathfinder. So there, you can use your bows, your slings, certain types of spells that are ranged in that ring and hit anybody who's inside the circle or who's on that ring, no matter where they are on that on the board, this round board, no matter where they are on that ring, you can hit them or you can hit somebody who's inside in the inner circle, right? And then finally, far, at least as far as Professor Dungeon Master defined it, you are close enough to possibly hear what's being said on the inner ring, but you're too far to engage with anyone, right? So unless you have some kind of special attack, you can't actually attack anybody who's out there, right? So you would have to move in, and he had certain rules set up for movement regarding going from one zone to the next and how many rounds it would take to get from one zone to another. So I like this idea, right? Because you can set up a really involved and complicated scenario where you have some characters further off and some characters up close fighting. And, you know, these fights can be going on simultaneously. Or it doesn't have to be a fight. It could be almost anything. Encounters. All on this really compact setup. You don't need a giant board, right? And he also, he has a very particular way of progressing, right, in adventure regarding things like dungeon mapping and stuff. And it's a little hard to explain in audio, but if you go to YouTube and look up Professor Dungeon Master and Ultimate Dungeon Terrain, right, if you look that up, he has a full demonstration, and it's actually intriguing. I think this is a really clever concept, right? So I was thinking, how can I adapt this to Star Drifter, right? Because I'm committed to using hexes, not squares, right? In my game mats. Just because that's what I knew when I first started gaming, right? And I'm comfortable with that. Plus, it seems a little more high-tech than squares to me, right? So, and it's a science fiction game. So I thought, how do I go about making one of these things for Star Drifter? And specifically, very recently, I've been creating game tiles from these products that I've been picking up from the dollar store, right? And I have those on the video channel on YouTube for, you know, my video channel for YouTube. And that, you know, that posed a bit of a quandary for a bit, but finally I thought, well, I'm just gonna go ahead and do it, which I've done, right? So I'm still in the midst of working on this, but basically what I did is I got a bunch of these tiles, I put them together in such a way, and then I mapped it out so that I knew that I could have my three zones, right? But I went a little bit further, and I did this first off. I created a design for it on Inkscape so I could really see what I was doing, you know? Inkscape is a vector graphics program, and I did my best to try to design this thing out in such a way that I could use it with those three zones, but I also expanded it, because as I was working, I could see that, you know what, there's a potential for a little bit more use out of these zones. So I've set it up so that I can have the three zones, close, near, far. And the three zones mean a very particular thing in Star Drifter versus what Professor Dungeon Master intended for D&D or Pathfinder. And I can go into detail on that at another time, because I'm still working on the board itself. Well, basically, I've set up rules for how long it takes to go from one zone to the other and what you can do combat-wise in these various zones, right? I then went to Lowe's, a hardware store, big box store, and I picked up some crafting, or some foam. It's actually an insulation, but it's often used for crafting. It's this big green sort of foam board. And I traced out the design that I set up in Inkscape and cut that all out. So I have this, it looks very jagged because it conforms to the shape of the hexes, but I have this shape for the dungeon map, right? That I'm gonna be putting on top. So right now I'm conditioning the board. I've got it two coats of paint on a paint/primer, and I'm gonna do at least one more, maybe another coat, but definitely at least one more, to make this thing stronger and just overall more durable, you know, less prone to damage or chipping, because it is just styrofoam in the end, or a type of styrofoam. But so far, I'm really excited, and I think it'll be a cool addition to have. Now, I do have a very big battle map, right? I got a big battle map, or battle mat, I should say. It's not a map, but a mat. And I don't need to pull that down every time. Like, when I'm working, a lot of times I'll just grab one of the dungeon tile sets that I created before and play with that. But this thing would be even cooler if I had my own Star Drifter ultimate dungeon terrain. And so far it's turning out pretty good. Now I'll report back, and I never embed photographs or really anything into this podcast, but maybe once I get this thing done, I'll throw some photos up. And definitely I'm going to be doing some video on how this thing is structured and how it works that I'll be putting up on the YouTube channel, and I'll report about that. So there's stuff going on, and I'm really excited about the ultimate dungeon terrain for Star Drifter. So anyway, I guess that's it for today, because I am at the shelter.